Let's turn in our Bibles tonight to the book of Proverbs chapter 6 to begin with this evening. Proverbs chapter 6, and we're going to direct your attention tonight to Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 6. And we're going to read several verses here as an introduction to our message tonight. I've titled the message this evening, Little Creatures and Lazy People. You know, in this day, there's a lot of people who are looking for the easy way out. They want to get rich quick. They want to have their ship come in so that they no longer have to labor in order to provide for their needs. They're expecting maybe they could find some way to live their life and not have to work. And in fact, there are many people today who equate work with evil, a four-letter word, or something to be avoided. But you know, from the Bible, nothing could be further from the truth. Rather than something to be avoided, work is something that is at the very core of how we were created and designed by God. And it's good for us to understand that and remember it. Rather than looking for a way to get out of work, we should be looking for ways to invest our life in a meaningful fashion through our work. The book of Proverbs has a lot to say about the importance and the rewards of hard, diligent labor. And tonight we're going to study some of these verses and try to glean some wisdom for our lives. Look in verse number 6 of Proverbs chapter 6. The Bible says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man." Now, this passage talks about the sluggard as one who loves to sleep. And we should point out tonight that sleep is also something that is designed by God, and in its proper place is something that is very necessary to our health. It's important to have a good balance in our lives. But to think that sleep is better than work is an error as well. Both are equally needed. And we note here in Proverbs chapter 6, first of all, tonight, there's a picture that God gives us from nature. Isn't it amazing what we can learn from God's creation? Some years ago, my wife and I and Margaret, she was just a baby then, went on a missions trip with a number of our teenagers to the country of Panama. I'll never forget it because as we were standing outside in the street outside of the church, which was located at that time very close down in the area where the locks for the Panama Canal are at. It's no longer, that building is no longer there because it has since been taken over. That property was reclaimed to enlarge the canal for larger ships to go through shortly after we were there. But as we were standing outside in the street, I looked down and at my feet I saw a trail. And upon further examination, it was a trail of ants. And it looked like a river of ants. They were walking perhaps 8 or 10 abreast of each other, and just a steady stream for as far as you could see, all the way back into the jungle and off this direction. And you know, wherever those ants were walking, there was actually a path that was worn into the dirt and the road. Isn't that amazing? It looked like a small deer trail, and it was made by these hard-working ants. I stood there for a long time watching these ants. They were the particular kind of ants that they were was the leaf-cutting variety. And they were going about looking for vegetation that they would then cut up with their jaws, which were very sharp, and then they would take those pieces after they had cut them off and carried them back to the nest. And there was just a steady stream of ants coming and going, coming and going, coming and going. We were there for several days, every single day, all day long, even at night, the ants just come and go, come and go. And they're getting the things that they need for the rest of the ant colony. I was amazed by this because it reminded me of Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 11, which describes in nature, these creatures who work tirelessly to provide. You know, oftentimes by looking around at the creation of God, we can learn some very important lessons. Tonight, we can learn an important lesson from this picture, these ants who do a tremendous work. You know, even though God made man to be the crowning pinnacle and the crowning glory of his creation, man is at the top, if you will, as far as all of the created beings, and God gives him great honor. All of that is, of course, delegated from God by his creative act. But, you know, even though we are at the top, we can learn from the lowliest of creatures. Here in Proverbs 6, it's recommended to us that we go to the ant. Now, tonight, I'm not suggesting that you are a sluggard. I am suggesting that you probably have sluggard tendencies like all the rest of us. That there's a part of your flesh that would just as soon not work. And so he says, go to this ant. Learn from this ant. Consider her ways and be wise. Learn something from this little creature who provides so valiantly and so faithfully for her family. We're reminded of the importance of labor as we look at the ant. It says about this ant who can give us great wisdom if we'll consider her ways. In verse number 7, we're told she has no guide, no ruler, no overseer. I remember at times working different jobs in the workaday world, how easy it was, especially clocking in and clocking out. And many people were not interested in putting in a full day's work for their wage. And usually they justified it by saying, well, I'm not getting paid that much. And so I don't think that it's fair for me to be expected to do those things. I remember one lady, she was an older lady in particular that I worked with at one time. And in between our other responsibilities at that job, we were supposed to take any downtime and clean up around the front of the store where we were working. And I remember very well one day I asked her, and I think her name was Carol, and I said, Carol, are you going to do the works, the job that was assigned to you right now? I can cover things while you're going to do that. And she looked at me just as serious as could be, and she said, I'm not doing that. That's not what I get paid for. I get paid to stand here. If nobody's here, that's tough. I'm not doing anything extra. And, of course, that was because the manager wasn't around. Whenever the manager was around, she would hustle around trying to look busy because she didn't want to lose her job. You know, people often need a guide, an overseer or a ruler to make sure that they do what they're supposed to do. We often need a supervisor to keep us working. Isn't it amazing how much faster everybody works when the supervisor comes around? But the ant doesn't need a guide. She doesn't need a ruler. She doesn't need an overseer. The reason is because work is written in her DNA. Work is something that God created her to do. Now, I'm going to suggest to you tonight that work is also written into our DNA, but we have a sinful flesh that would just as soon avoid that part of God's design. These ants are amazing, and they are wired for work. But we note that what she does there in verse number 8 is she provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. Think about that word, provideth. Think about how much work an ant has to do to provide all the food that is necessary, not only for herself, but for the rest of the colony as she goes about her work. No wonder an ant is so tireless. The need for provision is constant, and the need for provision is not for themselves alone. Much like when we work, we not only provide for ourselves, but we provide for those that are dependent upon us. We provide so that we can give to those who have a need. Instead of stealing, let him that steals steal no more, but rather let him labor that he may have to give to him that needeth. You see, the ant is providing for not only the entire colony, but the ant is also providing for the next generation. Much of the food that is brought in is to feed the larvae that are going to hatch and eventually become adult ants who will go and do more of that work. Each ant does their important part of the work, and they do an incredible work. An incredible amount of work is accomplished. She provideth, and then it says she gathereth. And when we think about gathereth, you know, the strength of an ant is infamous, isn't it? how much they can carry. Did you ever see an ant carrying what to us would be a crumb, but is greater than the weight of that ant's body? And that thing is hoisted up there and off goes the ant and it's going to drag it into the hole. And of course, I'll have to confess that as a little boy, when I would see that, I would try to disrupt the flow. I would try to knock the burden off of the ants and see what would happen, you know. But, you know, these ants are diligent. They gather. Without gathering, there would be no food for the future. There would be nothing laid up in our area. There would be nothing for the winter time. And specifically, there would be nothing for the following spring when all those busy ants start coming back out again. And we see that these ants are providing and they're gathering. They're fully engaged in this important work. And God says to us, you know, our labor ought to look a lot like this. We ought to be willing and ready to work like the ant does. We ought to pay attention to how they labor. They labor from sun up to sundown and even long beyond that. They work. If they had fingers, they would work them to the bone. But of course they don't. I don't know how we describe that when they have an exoskeleton. When your bone is on the outside. Anyway, I know biology came back in a hurry for some of you right there and you got it. So there's a picture from nature that we see in the book of Proverbs. And God is telling us, learn something. Learn something from these ants. You know, sometime, if you haven't done it in a while, you ought to find a colony of ants in the spring and just sit there and watch for a while. Maybe put some crumbs of food out and see what happens. And just observe and watch these amazing creatures that God has made, because they can teach us something about how we ought to work. These little creatures, so diminutive, and yet, so profound, the lessons that we can learn from them. Now, he tells us that in contrast to this ant is the sluggard. The sluggard. This is someone who is lazy and indolent. Someone who's not at all interested in working. Who, we would say, spends more time figuring out how to get out of work than they do doing their work. How many of us have seen a kid who worked much harder trying to avoid their chores than they did? And if they had just put that much energy into getting their chores done, they would have been done an hour ago. But they were so focused on getting out of their chores. You know, we ought to learn from the ants, and that's because deep down inside, we have a tendency to be lazy, to be sluggards. So consider with me not only a picture, this picture that we saw from nature, but second of all, let's think about the peril of the lazy man. It's a dangerous thing to be a lazy person. The book of Proverbs spends a great deal of time describing this man. Turn with me, first of all, to Proverbs chapter 26 as we think about some of his characteristics. Some of the characteristics of the lazy man. And in Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 14, I love the colorful language that is used here in these two verses. Proverbs 26:14 says, "As the door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed." Isn't that? Can't you just see this guy in bed? And I like to, whenever I read this verse, I imagine the door with squeaky hinges. And I just see this guy. And he just stays in his bed and he flips and flops and back and forth. As the door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. He's tossing and turning. He should have just got out of bed. He's been awake and he needs to get out of his bed and get busy doing something. The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom. It grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth. I mean, did you ever see a toddler who was so tired that they fell asleep right in their plate? And that's the picture. It's not that he's tired. It's that he's lazy. It's like if I put my hand in my pocket and I'm so lazy that I won't even take it out. I need to grab that. Oh, I just don't feel like taking my hand out of my pocket. Isn't that amazing? This slothful man. And I think that, yeah, the writer of Proverbs is using a little bit of hyperbole, isn't he? He's exaggerating just a little bit to help us understand, wow, this is really dramatic. This guy is so lazy, he can't bring himself to do the simplest of tasks. And so the first characteristic of the lazy man is he has a lack of ambition. He has a complete lack of interest in doing anything. You say to the lazy man, what are you going to do today? I don't know. Got anything you need to get done? Maybe. Well, how are you going to spend your day? Whatever I feel like. Now, we laugh, but there's more people than we probably would care to think about who are in this exact place, this exact situation. This lazy man has a lack of ambition. He, to-do list? Try to get something done? Why would I do that? I'm very comfortable right where I'm at. A lack of ambition. Sound like any teenagers that you know sometimes? His characteristics. Notice second of all about the lazy man, not only does he have a complete lack of ambition, but he's also a man who wastes precious resources. Several verses we want to look at in regards to this. You're close to Proverbs 24, so turn there first. Proverbs chapter 24, and look at verse number 30. The Bible here says, I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns. And nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. We see this man has a field in verse number 30. A field is valuable. In the days of the writer of Proverbs, a field was like money. It was an agricultural community. If you were going to earn a living, you most often made that living by growing crops and selling them. Here he had a field. He had a vineyard. Most likely this field and this vineyard, as would have often been the case, had been passed down for generations through his family. He had received it as a beneficiary, but he couldn't bring himself to do anything with it. You know, vineyards take work. A field, a place where you're going to grow crops, that's a place where you're going to labor. There's weeds to be pulled and seed to be planted and water to be put upon the field. There's so much that must be done in the field and in the vineyard. And yet this lazy man, he has the potential, but he does nothing. He doesn't utilize it. He doesn't put it to good work. How many people have tremendous potential, tremendous opportunities, and yet you couldn't interest them in doing anything? They'd just prefer, and in our day and age, we have a lot of helps with this that they didn't have when the book of Proverbs was written, like the television and the internet and video games. And, you know, he just can't bring himself to get up off of his lazy boy and do something with the field that's been provided for him. He can't get up and go do anything, and he just lets his field be neglected. Why? Because he wastes precious resources, a vineyard and a field that could be providing for his family and providing precious substance for him to eat and to enjoy. And yet he won't invest the labor in doing anything with it. Incidentally, did you ever notice that things don't get done by themselves? That's the world in which we live. And did you also notice that we live in a world that is not getting better naturally, but it gets worse? It declines. That's why everything takes maintenance. That's why what we call the pride of home ownership is actually an opportunity to learn how to work. Because as soon as you own it, there's something wrong with it. And then there'll be more things wrong with it. And just about the time you finish the list, you'll be starting back over on the things you did in the first place, because now it's been so long that they're broken again. You see, all of these things require labor, but many people are not interested in laboring. And they waste their precious resources. They waste the things that have been given to them. And turn to Proverbs chapter 18. That's not too far away. Proverbs chapter 18. And Look with me at verse number 19. That's not right. 18 and 9. Verse 9. He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. What's a waster? Somebody who just, and even, they just throw it away. What's the value of it? You know, kids are like this, aren't they? Naturally. They don't think about what things cost because they didn't have to pay for it. And so they don't mind. They just figure, well, if it breaks, mom and dad will get me another one. There'll be another one around the corner. And they don't think much about breaking things or about losing things or about leaving things out in the rain or these sorts of things. Why? Because when it comes right down to it, I don't want to go back out there and get my bike. I'm tired. But if you leave it out there, it's going to rain and it's going to get rusty. Oh, well, no problem. What is that? They're a waster. And you know, when it gets rusty, then they'll be a little upset that they didn't do that. But for the moment, they just as well be comfortable and they don't really want to be disturbed. And, you know, it's not just kids who are like this. We can get to be like this a lot ourselves. People who are lazy waste things. They throw things away that aren't broken. There's nothing wrong with them. They don't pay attention to the things that they have. They don't keep a good inventory. They waste precious resources. Look at chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12. I hope you're still with me. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 27 describes a very interesting fella. Proverbs 12:27 says, "The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious." I don't know if you're familiar with this process, you know, but hunting is a lot of fun. Hunting is enjoyable. You go and sit in a deer stand and you wait for a deer, and Brother Rudy, it's beautiful out there and you're in God's creation, and it's exciting if a deer comes along and you get to harvest a deer. But you know, after that, it's all work. I mean, you got to get that deer out of the woods. You've got to get that deer down to your car. You've got to get that deer loaded. You've got to get it to the butcher if you're going to cut it up yourself. And of course, in these days, they would have cut it up themselves. You got to do a lot of work. There's a lot to be done, and you can't dilly-dally. You can't say, well, just leave that deer lay there for a couple of weeks, and then I'll come back when I'm feeling better. Not going to be worth anything. You're not going to be able to eat it. There's a lot of work. And in Bible days, they would have had to cut that deer up. They would have had to take the meat and probably cure it with salt or smoke it or something like that to preserve it. And we're talking about days of work that would have been invested in taking an animal that was gotten in hunting and turning it into something to be enjoyed for a long time to come. But the slothful man, you know, the thrill of the hunt is great. That's enjoyable. Let me shoot this deer. I don't feel like doing anything with it. Just let it lay. What a shame. What a sad thing. I was taught when I was a boy growing up and we started hunting, I was taught if you shoot it, you eat it. Or you share it with somebody. If you're going to take the life of an animal, you don't do that just frivolously. There's a purpose for it. It's so that we can feed our bodies. It's so that we can get energy. We don't do that without a purpose. We honor the creation that God gave to us to use in that manner. And we ought not to be slothful. The slothful man says, "Oh." Now, there's a lot of other applications. You say, "Well, I'm not a hunter. I wouldn't do anything like that because I don't go hunting." Well, you know, there's a lot of other applications. After you finish dinner and there's some leftovers, you say, "I don't feel like cleaning it up. Just throw it out. It's not that important. It's not that necessary." You know, there's so much food that's thrown away in our country. It's an absolute shame. It's an absolute shame. And a lot of that, and I realize there's all kinds of reasons for that. You know, the regulations in the food industry and all that sort of a thing. And we have a tremendous abundance in our country, and that has a lot to do with it. You know, I'll be honest with you, my chickens eat better than a lot of people around the world. Why? Because they, you know, the little table scraps and cutoffs of vegetables and stuff like that, they get all that stuff and they turn it into something profitable for us. It's called eggs. Eggs and compost. And we appreciate both of those. But, you know, there's work to be done. There's labor if you're going to benefit. And if you're not going to invest labor, a lot of things are going to be wasted. You know, many people waste their homes. They waste their homes. They absolutely destroy them. You know, a landlord doesn't want somebody moving into their house that's going to be a slothful person. Why? Because by the time they move out, the place is going to be trashed. It's amazing how fast you can trash a house, isn't it? How quickly dirt accumulates and grime and all that sort of stuff. And it's hard work to keep that stuff cleaned up. But you know, if you value your house, then you're going to keep after it. I could just go on and on. A slothful person is a wasteful person. They waste their resources and then they complain. Oh, look at my house. Well, how did it get that way? They did it to themselves. They didn't clean up after themselves. A lot of kids say, look at my room. Well, clean it up. Clean it up and it won't be that way. Boy, I'm meddling tonight. It's a lack of ambition. This man also wastes precious resources. Would you turn with me to Proverbs chapter 20? Not only these things, which are characteristics of this slothful man, but this is another one. And boy, I've got several verses about this, and some of these are really clever. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse number 4. The third characteristic of the lazy man is he's full of excuses. He's always got a reason why he can't be working. I mean, if you say to him, you know, why aren't you doing something? Oh, you know, he's always got a reason. Look at verse 4, Proverbs 20. The sluggard will not plow. Why? By reason of the cold. It's too cold out there. I can't be out plowing when it's cold. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. Why? Because if you're going to plow, duh, you plow when it's cold. You got to plow before you can plant, and you want to plant when it gets warm. That means you got to plow while it's cold. You got to make preparation. You say those farmers, man, they got it made. They just work from, you know, in the spring they plant their stuff and in the fall they harvest their stuff. Well, you've obviously never been on a farm. What do they do in between? Oh, you know, just little stuff like maintain their equipment, repaint the barn, get the seeds ready, get out there and check the soil, all kinds of stuff. Man, farmers work, don't they? They work all year long, even though the harvest is in a specific season. So this man, he says, I can't plow. It's too cold. This is like the person who says, yeah, I can't get a job. I mean, you just got to understand. I don't, you know, my back. Oh, hurts. Oh, okay. You couldn't find anything that doesn't involve your back? Oh, no, I can't do that. No, because that wouldn't be good. Now, are you listening to me? We got to be careful, right? As people, we can easily fall into excuses. We don't want to make excuses. Sometimes people have legitimate things that they struggle with. They have legitimate health problems. And that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the person who has real excuses. An excuse is just a reason wrapped up in a lie. Proverbs, other way around, a lie wrapped up in a reason. Proverbs 26:16. I'm just actually a little dyslexic in my words. Proverbs 26:16. I like this one. So powerful. Such a good passage. The sluggard, verse 16, is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. A sluggard could be an able-bodied man, young man, perfectly capable of doing something, perfectly capable of working. You could get seven of his friends to come and say, why don't you do something? Why don't you get up? Why don't you? Oh, man, he can fool them all. Oh, I've got this problem. I've got this. Oh, you don't know. I mean, I can't do it because of this. Oh, there's this thing and that thing and the other thing. And oh, he's got all kinds of reasons. He's got all kinds of excuses, all kinds of problems that are going on that keep him, prevent him from from working. By the way, parents, your kids will give you many reasons why they can't work, why it's not convenient right now. Did you ever notice that? It's never good right now. In a little while, Mom, in a little while, Dad, I'm sure I can get to it in a little while. It's always a little while, but you know, that's not really going to be helpful, is it? So we want to encourage them to learn to work and to prioritize. Look at Proverbs 26:13. This is one of my favorites. Proverbs 26:13. The slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way, a lion in the streets. What's he saying? I mean, there might be a lion out there. You never know. This is like somebody saying, well, I can't get a job. Why not? Well, because people have accidents. In fact, I heard it on the news something I was listening to the other day, that the time of the greatest number of accidents is in the morning when people are going to work. It's dangerous out there. I can't be doing that and putting myself at risk. There's a lion in the streets. I just can't do it. He's full of excuses, all kinds of reasons why he can't work. Now, economics aside and unemployment and all that sort of thing, generally speaking, a life principle that I've observed is this. When someone wants to work, they find work. They find work. And the person who is unemployed, who approaches their unemployment like a full-time job, in other words, they put in 40 hours a week looking for a job, will often have a job in a very short amount of time. Why? Because the reality is that our human nature is to make excuses. And what we find oftentimes from conversations with business owners in our area is the problem is not a lack of jobs. The problem is a lack of people who will genuinely work, who will invest in their lives in that work. And so this sluggard has a lot of excuses. This is one of his characteristics. He's still okay? We're still friends? Proverbs 10. By the way, all of these things sound all too familiar to me. In other words, they're things that I'm very much in my flesh struggle against as well. Proverbs 10 and verse 26 says this, as vinegar to the teeth and as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him. A fourth characteristic of the sluggard, of the lazy man, is he brings disappointment to other people. It's a tremendous disappointment. One of the illustrations that's used here, to be honest with you, I'm not sure about that vinegar to the teeth thing. I'm not sure exactly what that means. Maybe some of you know what that means. But I know what smoke to the eyes means. I remember years ago when I was younger. I'm still a young man. When I was younger. And some of you remember Mary and Barry Smith, who were here for many years. And their oldest son, Matt, was one of my best friends. And Matt and I would go camping together. And we had a couple of camping sayings that we threw around. One of them was, when you go camping, the smoke follows you. So did you ever notice this around a campfire? Wherever you sit, the smoke blows in your face. And then you move and the smoke blows in your face that direction. You think, what is going on here? Do I have a smoke magnet? So quite literally, when we would go camping, we would often make our campfire and then we would put seats all the way around the fire. Why? Because we got tired of moving the seats. So we would just move from seat to seat as the smoke moved around. Because who wants to sit there and get smoke in your eyes? It hurts. You know, a sluggard is like that. Somebody sends a lazy person to do a job. That's like getting a huge cloud of smoke go in your eyes. You're going to regret it. You know, in fact, anybody who has employees who works for them will tell you, they'll give all the jobs to the person who gets it done rather than give anything to the person who doesn't get it done. Because it doesn't matter how much you cajole and how much you bargain and how much you plead, they're just not going to do what you ask them to do. And it'll be frustrating. They bring disappointment to others. A lazy man will be a disappointment to his family because he won't provide for them and he'll always have a reason why he can't. A lazy woman will always be a disappointment to her family because things won't get done, but she'll have lots of reasons why they don't get done. And we could go on and on. Lazy children will be a disappointment to their parents. And how? Because as they get older, that laziness doesn't miraculously go away when they're 18. And before you know it, mom and dad are trying to pay all their bills and pay their own bills. And what's the problem? Well, a lot of times it's just plain old laziness. And so this lazy person brings disappointment to others that are around them. What is his destiny? That's his characteristics, what he's like. But what's his destiny? Well, just three things real quick. First of all, laziness results in unfulfilled expectations. We saw a little while ago. Now, it's been too long. So let's look at Proverbs 13. We're going to have to pick up the pace a little bit here. Proverbs 13, verse 4. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. A lazy person has desires for things just like anybody else. They want things, but they can't get them, at least not in a legitimate way, because they're not willing to work. So he has unfulfilled expectations. Proverbs 21 and verses 25 and 26 says this, and I'll give you just a second to turn over there. Proverbs 21, verses 25 to 26 says, "The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. He coveteth greedily all the day long, but the righteous giveth and spareth not." Now, there's a contrast here. We're not going to dwell so much on the righteous man, but notice the desire of the slothful man killeth him. He wants stuff. Now, in Bible days, they didn't have a credit card. You didn't have a Visa or a MasterCard to go out and get what you wanted with money that you don't actually have. So he had to do without or beg other people to give it to him. And eventually the people around him would figure out the problem is this guy doesn't want to work and I'm not giving him anything else. And so his desire would kill him. His desire would cause him all kinds of problems. Unfulfilled expectations are the lot of the lazy man. He'll complain about not having what he wants and about not, I just don't have nice things. I just don't have it as easy as everybody. And, you know, a lot of times that's what it's like. That person, they just had it made in the shade and somebody gave them that job. And no, if somebody has something, it's usually because they worked for it. Second of all, the lazy person will be destined for poverty and destitution. Proverbs chapter 19, look at verse number 15. Proverbs 19 and 15, the Bible says, "Slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger." Do you know what it feels like to lay around in bed all day? I was thinking back, and I hate getting sick, don't you? Because when you're sick, you don't feel like doing anything. You just kind of lay there. Maybe you kind of lay in your bed and you read or you watch TV or you surf the internet or something. You know, people say, I'd love to have a sick day. I'd love to just stay home in bed. I last about 2 hours and I'm going insane. Get me out of here. I'm going crazy. Now, a lot of times, if I'm not feeling well enough, then I got to stay there longer. You know, when I finally get feeling better, when I get past feeling sick, doesn't it feel so good to get up and to get out of the house and maybe to take a shower and change your clothes and get out of the house and do something and work? And you say, oh, that feels so much better. Slothfulness, it puts a person into a deep sleep. It causes them to go into a deep sleep because they're, the idle soul shall suffer hunger. Because of his idleness, he'll be hungry. Chapter 20 and Verse 13, the New Testament puts it this way. If a man will not work, he shouldn't eat. Proverbs 20 and verse 13. Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. Now listen, sleep, again, sleep in its proper place is fine. But here we're talking about the person who just lays in bed all day long. And then they're not going to have the things that they want. Incidentally, that type of feeling tends to breed more of seeking that kind of response. And it's a terrible cycle that people fall into. For instance, depression. And we talked about this a little while ago when we were dealing with depression. You know, one of the best things you can do for depression is get up and do something. But it's the very last thing that you feel like doing. You feel like staying in bed, drawing the shades, turn off all the lights. Let me sit in here and nobody bother me. But, you know, if you do that, you're going to get more depressed. One of the best things you can do is get up and do something, whether you feel like it or not. Now, I'm not going to say that it's going to miraculously take your depression away overnight. I'm just saying that it's the best thing you could do. Same thing with laziness. You say, I don't feel like working. Who cares how you feel? Get up and do something anyway. Proverbs 15. It's for your own good. Proverbs 15, verse 19. Third of all, the destiny of this lazy man is he's going to have much difficulty in his life. Proverbs 15, 19. The way of the slothful man is an hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain. That's descriptive, isn't it? It's like he's always fighting through the bramble bushes. Did you ever try tracking a deer through bramble bushes? You'd wonder, how in the world does a buck with a wide set of antlers get through all this? I can't hardly even move. That's like the way of the sluggard. That's the way of this lazy man. His way is hard. It's difficult. Proverbs 12, 24 tells us that the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. He becomes a slave, a servant to those who are hard workers, those who are diligent, those whom God blesses for their hard work. And this lazy man is brought under tribute. So he's going to have a lot of difficulty in his life. Now, listen, these are general principles. If you have difficulty in your life, it doesn't follow that the reason you have the difficulty is because you're lazy. But it does follow that when people are lazy, typically they're going to have a lot of difficulty. Third of all, tonight, we've seen a little picture from nature and we've seen something about the peril of the lazy man. But third of all, tonight, let's think about some principles for the laborer. So we've looked at the lazy man, but let's think about what it means to work hard and what are some key principles found in the book of Proverbs about work. First of all, and you can be turning to Proverbs 16 and verse 26. First of all, understand this. Work is a necessity for life. God made us to work. There is a reason that work feels good. Not always when you're starting. Not always even in the middle. But at some point, you stand back and you say, that feels good. That feels good. Some people say, why do you burn firewood? Well, besides the fact that I like how firewood feels when it's burning, I just enjoy the work. Now, not always. And right now, I looked out my window the other day and I thought, I've got a lot of wood to split. A lot of wood. I got to get busy doing that. But, you know, once I get that done and have it all stacked, there's a very satisfying feeling in that. There's something satisfying about looking at something that you did with your hands and say, you know, I invested some time and some labor in that. Proverbs 16, verse 26 says this. He that laboreth for himself, for his mouth craveth it of him. So there's an aspect of labor that we labor in order to get a reward for ourselves. Yeah, there is a little bit of selfish motivation there. I know this. If I'm going to have firewood to burn in my fireplace, I got to get out there and cut wood and stack wood and split wood and carry wood. But you know what? In the winter, when it's cold like this, it's kind of nice to have a fire going in the hearth and to sit in front of it. But there's a lot of labor that goes before that. Work is a necessity for life. We can't live without working. Proverbs 12:11 says, "He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread. But he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding." It's important. You got to get out there and do something. You got to plant the garden before you can harvest from the garden. You got to till the ground before you can plant the seed. There's work that has to be done before you can have something. Do you ever see somebody who has nice things and say, "I wish I could have those same kind of nice things"? Sure. Well, one of the things you can do is go work and work. And then maybe you can have something to get some of those nice things. You say, "Well, they had it given to them." It's very possible. But you know what? I've found this. I enjoy things that I work for a lot more than things that are given to me. That's the truth. And that doesn't mean that I begrudge gifts. But, you know, there's something satisfying about knowing that you earned something. Work is a necessity for life. Second of all, work should be pursued with diligence and industriousness. Proverbs 24:27. I'm going to have to just read some of these to you, but you can turn to Proverbs 24:27. This is an interesting principle. He says here in verse 27 of chapter 24, "Prepare thy work without and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards build thine house." What is the principle? Well, think about this. The field with the harvest that was coming in was the income. This was what was going to pay for the house. So what is this guy going to do? Well, maybe he's going to live with a friend for a while. Maybe he's going to bunk at his parents' house while he's getting the field ready. Once he gets some income generated and some money coming in, now he can go and build a house. This is a good principle for young men who would like to get married, I think. Before you think about building a house in the sense of finding a spouse and raising a family, you know, you ought to think about how am I going to support my family? I know there's a country song that says we're just living on love, but you can't buy groceries with love. And so you're going to have to think about how are you going to provide for your family? Now, a lot of young men, "Oh, I want to get married." Oh, really? Then why are you still working 20 hours at McDonald's? Because that's not going to pay the bills when you get married. You're going to have to get out there and do something. You're going to have to prepare. I think there's a good principle there. Proverbs 21:5, "The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want." The sluggard is hasty. He hurries, "Oh, I'll make a fortune doing this easy thing." Proverbs 13:17, "A wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health." A faithful ambassador brings health to the person who sends him. A faithful ambassador is refreshing to the person that he works for. A faithful worker is someone who is poised to advance and to get some raises and some more responsibility. And again, we're speaking in general senses. I know that there's bosses who take advantage of this sort of thing. But generally speaking, somebody who works hard is going to be recognized for their hard work. Proverbs 10 and verse 5. Proverbs 10:5 says, "He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame." If you're gathering in the summer, you're going to have something to eat in the winter. And he's a wise person who does this. He plans ahead. He thinks about the future. He says, "Okay, how am I going to provide? How am I going to deal with the shortfall? What am I going to do in preparation for these things?" The diligent man, the laborer, is somebody who is diligent and industrious. He uses his time profitably. You know, it actually is amazing how much you can get done in a day when you set your mind to it. You know how I know? Because the day before you go on vacation, when you've got all those deadlines due, you get an amazing amount of work done. You probably look back on it and say, "I did as much in that day as I do normally in a week." Well, that might tell you something about how you work. That might tell you something about whether you're diligent and industrious. All right, third of all, not only is work a necessity for life, and not only should work be pursued with diligence and industriousness, but third of all, work brings a reward. It brings a reward. Proverbs 14, verse 23. Says this, "In all labor there is profit, But the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. Penury is poverty. Hey, talking about working is not working. Bragging about what you're going to get done is not the same as doing it. So you have to put some feet to your plan. You have to get out and do it. You know, if you're working, there's some profit. You say, well, I didn't get paid for it. There's still profit. There's still a benefit. There's still something that you can gain from it. Proverbs 13, verse number 4, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. That idea of being made fat is of being satisfied, of being completely satiated with from your hunger. It's the idea that you have what you need. Work brings a reward. Proverbs 13, you still there? Look in verse number 11. Proverbs 13:11 says, wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, the lottery, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. And it's not just increase financially, but increase in many other ways. A person who learns to work hard ends up learning many valuable lessons. Look at Proverbs 22 and verse 29. Oh, I've got to get done. Proverbs 22 and verse 29. Seest thou a man that's diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. In other words, because he works hard, because he's diligent in his business, there's a reward that comes with it. There's more responsibility. People recognize that and they trust him. He's somebody that the boss can give a job and not have to come back and check on him every 30 minutes to make sure he's doing it. But he can just depend on him. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse number 2 is very interesting. It says this, a wise servant shall have rule over a son that causeth shame and shall have part of the inheritance among the brethren. You know, sons inherit, they receive the inheritance, but servants can get something just by being diligent. And sometimes a servant in that culture could eclipse the value of the son. Why? Just because he was a faithful, hard, diligent worker. Proverbs 27:18 says this, whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. So he that waiteth on his master shall be honored. How do you get figs? I know, you go to the store and buy them. Well, in that day, you grew figs on a tree and you took care of that tree. You cultivated it. And then maybe you could sell them to people who didn't have a fig tree. If you were going to enjoy that fruit, you had to work for it. There was work that was involved. Finally, Proverbs chapter 10 and verse number 16. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 16 says, the labor of the righteous tendeth to life, the fruit of the wicked to sin. You know, when we work and we are diligent and we apply ourselves with wisdom to the jobs that we have in front of us, it keeps us out of trouble, doesn't it? But you know, laziness, this wicked man, the fruit of the wicked is sin. He gets himself into all sorts of trouble. You've probably heard it said, idle hands are the devil's workshop. But we ought to be busy working, finding things that we can do to be busy about what God wants us to do. Now, we should be careful that we're investing our lives in the right kind of labor. And there is some labor that is not as advantageous as others, but ultimately we have to work. Not maybe I shouldn't say we have to work. We get to work. God wired us for work. It's very satisfying to complete a job and to say, praise God for the strength that I had to complete that job. It's a very satisfying thing. I hope that you'll meditate on these things and maybe tomorrow get out there and get some work done.